God, all things are possible. I'll leave that last part again. Can we say this together? With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. I want to preach on the God of impossibilities. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this service. I thank you for revival this week, God. What you have done yesterday and what you're going to continue to do today, I pray that you anoint the remaining of this service, anoint this vessel of clay to bring forth your word the way you have put it into my spirit. God, if there be any lost, I pray you save them. If there be any sick, God, I pray your healing power comes into this place, Lord. God, if there be any down and out, discouraged, brokenhearted, I pray you lift them up tonight. Move and do the supernatural tonight, and we give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Tonight I want to preach for the next few minutes on the God of impossibilities. I told you yesterday, while I was preaching yesterday morning and even into some last night, I told you the importance of revival in this generation, the need for revival in this generation. But when you have revival, revival's not running around, jumping, screaming, running the aisles. That's not revival. That can happen during revival, but that's not revival. Revival, when revival's taking place, the supernatural's in progress. When revival's really happening, souls are being saved, people are being healed, devils are being casted out. The supernatural is taking place when revival happens. And when I state that we are in need of revival, I don't mean we're in need of an old-fashioned Pentecostal service where everybody's running and jumping and dancing, and that's wonderful and all. But when I say we need an old-fashioned revival, I mean we need God to do the impossible again. We need the supernatural again in the church. We need to see God do the impossible again. And if there's ever been a time that we need faith increased in the house of God, it's now. We need to believe for God to do the impossible again. We need to believe for the impossible to be done right now, here, tonight, again. At our church in Ohio, at Pastor Setzer's church, we have been, since the beginning of this year, the Lord spoke to Pastor Setzer to go on a 90-day breakthrough. And for 90 days, we have been having prayer meetings every day. We've been fasting throughout the 90 days, and every message has been about healings and breakthroughs. And we're about, I would say, 50 or 60 days into the 90-day breakthrough. And in those 50 or 60 days, my faith has been increased tremendously, Pastor, of what God can do and what God will do. We have seen God at church, and even in my own personal life, we have seen God do some miracles over and over again. And I told you Sunday morning about the testimony of the salvation of my sister later of last year. Now, I didn't go into a whole lot of detail, but that's not just a normal salvation where we just praise God and move on. That was a 20-year-long miracle that took place. It wasn't just, oh, praise God, somebody got saved, let's praise God. No, that was a person that's so bound, so in deep, dark pit of sin, depression, drugs, alcohol, out of so many children out of wedlock. It wasn't just a normal salvation. It was a miracle. God absolutely performed a miracle in our lives. And since then, my faith has been so increased of, my goodness, God, you can do anything. You can truly do anything. And tonight, for about 15 minutes, my goal here is to increase your faith to the level that by the time we get to the altar call, your level of faith will match your impossibility situation and have God move like never before. Because we're in revival, folks. And in revival, God does the impossible. Do we still believe that? Do we still believe that God does absolutely anything and everything? Hear me. I'm going to take you on a quick science lesson and we'll get into the word. You may feel as if you are sitting still right now, but it's an illusion of miraculous proportions. Planet Earth is spinning around its axis at a speed of 100,000 miles an hour. Every 24 hours, planet Earth pulls off a celestial 360. We're also hurtling through space at an average velocity of 67,108 miles per hour. That's just not faster than a speeding bullet, but it's 87 times faster than the speed of sound. So even on a day when you feel like you didn't get much done, don't forget that you traveled 1,599,793 miles through space. To top things off, the Milky Way is spinning like a galactic pinwheel at the dizzying rate of 483,000 miles per hour. Church, if that isn't miraculous, I don't know what is. But hear me. When was the last time we thanked God for keeping us in orbit? We don't pray that way. We don't get up in the morning, thank you that the earth didn't go off its axis today. We don't get up in the morning and go outside and make sure the sun came up again because we weren't sure that morning if it was going to come up. We just don't pray that way. And that is the ultimate irony. We already believe God for the big miracles, like they're no big deal. The trick is trusting Him with the small things. The healing of an incurable disease, the salvation of a backslidden wayward child, the opportunity to get out of a bunch of debt, little things compared to how big God really is. Hear me, church. It's an irony to me compared to keeping the planets in orbit. How big is your worst problem? How difficult is your greatest challenge? What is the enemy attacking your life with that's so big that it's bigger than God keeping everything in orbit? I don't know about you, but I don't get up in the morning and run outside and check. I mean, I'm not a morning person in general. I hate getting up in the morning. But I definitely don't get up in the morning and run outside to see if the sun's coming up. I'm not the sun. I don't enjoy sunrises unless I'm in the mountains in the west. But I don't do that because for 29 years of my life, Pastor, the sun has rose every morning and it's set every night. And when I go to bed, I don't question if the sun's going to rise in the morning because God's did it for the last 29 years. The sun has set and the sun has rose. And what I'm trying to get you at is this. I don't know how old you are and I don't know how long you've been saved, but what I do know, the same God in Genesis has been healing, delivering, saving, moving, doing impossibilities all the way from Genesis to Revelation thousands of years ago. He's still the same God and He's still doing it today. But it's a different story. Hear me. God will not answer. I'm going to give you a little revelation. God will not answer 100% of the prayers you don't pray. Wow. God will not answer 100% of the prayers you don't pray. If you assume the answer is no, you don't even give God a chance to say yes. Hear me. When I search these scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, it seems to me the most miracles happen to the people who make the fewest assumptions. Hear me. Joshua did not assume that the sun couldn't stand still. Elisha didn't assume that iron axe heads don't float. Mary didn't assume that virgin women don't get pregnant. Peter didn't assume that humans don't walk on water. The problem with a lot of us is we assume things that we should no longer assume. God moves for the people who don't assume. When you put a lid on what God can do, you stop the impossibility. When you put a lid, I mean, in our mindset, when you think, can people walk on water? No. Do iron axe heads float? No. Can you get money out of a fish's mouth? No. That's what we assume these things already. But tonight, I'm trying to get every one of you that's probably over the age of six to go back to the age of six where you assume that God still does absolutely everything. There's a reason He said to have childlike faith, because if you ever take prayer requests in school for little children, then you understand They have the craziest prayer requests. Why? Because they believe God can do everything. So it's about time we get back to a six-year-old mind and say, God, I know the doctor said this. I know my bills look like this. I know the church looks like this. I know the nation's like this. But I assume that you still can do absolutely everything. Do you believe he can do everything tonight? I don't know your situation. I don't know what's going on in your life. But do you believe he can do everything tonight? Do you believe he's still a God of the impossibilities? Do you still believe he heals absolutely anything and everything? Do you still believe that he sends random checks in the mail? Do you still believe that when everything looks wrong, somehow God steps in and turns everything around? Do you still believe that the child that is so far gone that it looks like there's no hope, but in the middle of the night can turn his life around in an instant? Do you still believe he does the impossible? Hear me. The only way the church is going to survive these last days is if we remember he still does everything. He still does the impossible. I'm going to tell this story real quick and then move on to what I need to do. In 1939, a man by the name of George Dantzig was enrolled as a graduate student in the University of California. His professor, he enrolled in statistics. And his professor on the first day of school wrote two math problems on the board. And he told all the students that these two problems are famous because they are unsolvable. No mathematician in the history has yet to be able to solve these two problems. And they're gone down as famous because nobody can seem to figure out the answer. Well, George, on the first day of class, came in a little late. And he did not hear the spiel from the professor of these two impossible problems. So George wrote down the problems, and he figured they were just homework assignments that he had to do. So George took those problems home and he worked on them for the entire semester because he could not figure out how to answer them. 6 weeks passed and he turned the problems in, and the professor came running to his dorm door and knocked on his door, and George opened the door apologizing. He said, I know I'm so late turning these problems in, but they were so hard and I couldn't figure them out, and finally I got them. And the professor looked at him and he said, I need you to tell me how you solved these problems. He said, what you have missed in class was that these problems have been known, famous for being unsolvable. Nobody has ever been able to solve them. The highest mathematician has not been able to solve these problems. And he said, I need you to explain to me how you came to your answer, because it works and it's correct. This George guy became a mathematician himself, began working at the college. He won many degrees. He won the National Medal of Science in 1975, became very famous and well known. And in an interview later in his years, they asked him, how did he get to this place? And he went back to that classroom that day and he said, if somebody would have told me these two problems were famous for being unsolvable, I probably would have never even tried to solve them. But because I didn't know that they weren't solvable, I assumed that I could find the answer.
Oh, that's good.
I'm going to run whether you run without. Praise God. And I think sometimes we get too Pentecost. We get too saved. We get too far into this that we assume what God can and cannot do. But hear me. If we ever go back to assuming, well, yeah, sure he can do that. Well, sure he can heal that. Well, sure he can move like that. Well, sure, If we ever get to the part, we make far too many false assumptions about what is and what isn't possible. George solved those unsolvable problems because he didn't know it could be done. And there lies one of the secrets to experiencing the miraculous. Realizing that anything can still be done. Hear me, as I was praying in the hotel room the day, my wife was so precious and went to Walmart without me today. As I was praying in the hotel room today, if I've ever heard the Spirit of the Lord speak to my heart, He spoke to me in prayer today. And He told me to tell somebody in this place, ask me again to do the impossible. The problem it comes into, well, Brother Jeremiah, I've prayed about this and nothing's changed. I've asked and I've asked. I've stood in prayer lines. I've gave prayer requests over and over and over again and nothing's changed. I'm not seeing God do anything. Nothing's moved. It's been 5 years. It's been 10 years. It's been 20 years and nothing's changed. But if I've ever heard the Lord speak to my spirit, and you can believe it if you want, I don't care. But He spoke to me today and He told me, tell them to ask me to do the impossible again. Ask me to do the impossible again. And hear me. That was about, I don't know what time, that was about noon, we'll say. I don't remember what time she went. Maybe 11 o'clock this morning. And I didn't know, Pastor, that 2 hours later I would receive a text that my grandmother went to the doctor today and they told her she had 1 month to 3 months left to live. And they told her, we'll call you back in 2 weeks to set another appointment if you're still here. And at first, I begin to break down. And then I remember what the Lord spoke to me 2 hours ago. And He spoke to me again. He said, ask me again to do the impossible. So tonight, this is what we're going to do. We're in revival. It's different and it's going to happen. But this is what the Holy Ghost spoke to me to do today in prayer. Brother Brady, will you grab that stuff over there for me? Seth, can I borrow you real quick, please? I need you both to do me a favor. And ladies, if you want to help out to make this go quicker, this is what, and I know this is different, but this is what God spoke to me to do. They're going to pass out. You'll split them up for me. They're going to pass out these note cards to everybody in here that wants one. They're going to pass out a pen. This is what the Lord spoke to me today. He said, I want you to write down the impossible situation in your life. I don't care how big it is. I don't care what it is. If it's a healing, if it's a deliverance, if it's a wayward son, I don't know what it is for you. And I don't care how big it is. I don't know if it's one, two, maybe three things. I wrote three things down on mine. But He said, I want you to write down the impossible things in your life. He said, then I want you to preach for about 15 minutes. Increase their faith to believe me again for the impossible. He said, then I want you to grab a hold of whatever you write down. I want you to walk it up to this altar. And whether you stand and lift it up to heaven or whether you kneel down, He said, I want them to pray again. God, do the impossible. God, do the impossible. And I believe with everything within me, Pastor, that we're going to hear testimonies from tonight's service of how God did the impossible. About how God healed and God moved. And God saved a situation and turned it around that was impossible. But hear me. If you don't believe, I don't want you to come up here. I don't mean that mean in any way. But if you don't believe, He still can. If you don't believe that He still wants to, then I need you to stay where you are. Because, Pastor, I need a river in this altar That when the saints of God walk up here and step in this river, I need miracles to happen. I need chains to break. I need breakthroughs to happen. I need healings to take place. Does anybody still need something? If you've already wrote down, I want you to stand up in this place. Ladies, if you'll come, Sister Jarvis, I'm going to have them play because I want you to write something down too and come pray. I'm thankful they were here because I was just going to have them play music because I wanted you involved in the altar. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 19, with men, this is impossible. But with God, whatever you wrote, you see, Pastor Setzer came to me last week or 2 weeks ago, and he stopped by in my office and he said, I'm believing God for a certain financial number for the school. And he told me that number, and I laughed. I didn't laugh at his face because he was dead serious. He said, I'm praying for this number, that God will bring it to the school. But my finite human mind laughed and said, "Whoo, Pastor Setzer's crazy." And then immediately, conviction hit my heart. And he said to me, "Do you not believe that I still can do all things?" Church, revival happens not when we run, not when we jump, not when we dance, not when we roll on the floor. It's not revival. I love it. I do it. It's not revival. Revival happens, Pastor, when people come back and say, that Monday night, I put on that paper that I needed God to do this. And within the week, it was done. That's revival. Revival happens when somebody says, I put on that paper that I needed God to miraculously heal this individual. And now they're healed. That's revival. I don't care how much you jump. I don't care how much you shout. Let me know, is God still doing the impossible? I'm burdened tonight because I know God's going to do something special in here. God's going to do the miraculous in here. And I pray that I did a good enough job to increase your faith as much as mine is right now, because I'm telling you what, my faith is so increased right now that I could run through a wall and jump over a troop. My faith is so increased right now that I could be like they did in the old days, say, wheel him up here. I was watching A.A. Allen the other day, and I thought to myself, do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Ladies, if you don't mind playing, as they sing tonight, if you wrote something on that paper, I want you to find yourself up here, whether you stand or whether you kneel. And I want you to pray, God, it looks impossible to me. It looks impossible to man. But God, I need you one more time. Do the impossible. I need you one more time. Perform a miracle.
you one more time, save that lost child. Heal of that incurable disease. God, I need a financial breakthrough. God, I need a deliverance in my mind. God, I need a supernatural breakthrough tonight. Do the impossible again. God, just like the sun comes up in the morning and it sets at night, do the impossible again. Shut da da da.